You are listening to the Women's Streaming Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I am Cynthia Cooper, newly named to the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame, and you're listening to Dishing and Swishing on WSTRradio.com.
Hey, everybody, it's David Siegel on Dishing and Swishing, the world of women's hoops. And today, the section we are recording is on Valentine's Day, February 14th, a day that is meant to be love. And we are talking about love today. And one of the things that is going on right now is February, there is so much breast cancer awareness, and we're in the middle of the Pink Zone Initiative with money going to the KYAL Cancer Fund plus various other breast cancer-related entities and events. And we have done, as you know, on this show before, we have done two shows about the Pink Zone Initiative and the KYAL Cancer Fund. But one thing that we have not done on this show is we have not addressed the woman. We have not addressed KYAL herself, and we have not talked about the influence and the type of person that she was on her own, not just in the aftermath of her unfortunate passing. So I have a few guests with me today, and we're going to go with one of our roundtables today. And I would like each of our guests to introduce themselves and talk about where they know Coach Gal from so we can get this started. Ladies, good morning.
Good morning, David. This is Debbie Antonelli. I am very excited about being a part of your show today. Thank you so much for including me. I had a 30-year relationship with Coach Al, which started as a camper and a former player. And as a professional in our business as a broadcaster, I learned a great deal about the game from Coach Al from an X and O standpoint. But I am also a member of her board, the KYAL Cancer Foundation Board of Directors, which I'm very excited about being a part of that. And I'm very happy to be on your show today.
David, this is Kristen Gillespie. I, too, am very honored to be on your show, and I am, along with Debbie, a former player. Knew Coach Al for about 18 years, met her when I was 18 out of high school, and it was just an honor and privilege to play for her. I also had the opportunity to be a graduate assistant under her for 2 years and then be on her staff for her final 2 years at NC State.
Good morning, David. This is Marcia Sharp, and I come at it from a little bit different perspective. Kay and I were colleagues for many years. The second year I was the head coach at Texas Tech, I became a member of the board of directors for the Women's Basketball Coaches Association, and Kay was the president of that group at that time. And we actually were the group that formed the bylaws for the Coaches Association, and so that tells you that it was about the mid-'80s and a long time ago, and we became good friends and were colleagues from that time forward. We worked the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athlete Camps, together in the 1980s and early 90s, and I have always had a deep respect for her amazing faith and the things that she stood for and what a great role model she was for all of us in women's basketball. She asked me to be a part of her board of directors for the newly formed KYAL Cancer Fund about 2 years before she passed away, and then I was briefly the president of that, and then in May, after her death, I accepted the role very humbly to be the executive director of the KYAL Cancer Fund, and I have been incredibly blessed and very fortunate to be a part of that a little over 2 years now, and it's been a great thing for me, and I've really enjoyed doing that. So that's kind of my involvement, a little bit different than these former players.
And I believe we now have another former player with us. So let's let her introduce herself, and welcome to the show.
Hi, David. It's Krista Kilburn-Sedecki. I played for Coach Al from 1990.
And Krista, you are now currently still doing some serious coaching. Why don't you tell everybody where you are right now?
I'm currently at Hofstra University up here in Long Island, New York, and I'm the head coach here. I've been here on my fifth year.
Now, Debbie, we'll start with you as you are the All right, I'm going to say it, Dad. You're the oldest of the players. Sorry about that. Four NCAA tournament berths, though, in your time, correct? Two Sweet 16s?
Oh, yeah. We played back when there were 32 and then 40 and then 48. I never quite made the 64, David, nor did I have the three-point line. That's how old I am.
Now, talk for a little bit about Coach Yao's coaching style back in the early days when women's basketball was just beginning to get some notoriety and just starting to grow somewhat.
I can honestly tell you that I'm not sure that it was a whole lot different than what Krista and Kristen experienced. Coach Yao was a wonderful teacher of fundamentals of the game. We all were drilled in all the same things I know from a fundamental standpoint. She was in the way in practice early on, and she continued to stay in the way. When you're running the passing lane, she might be standing there with her little 6-ounce or 8-ounce cup of styrofoam with a black coffee in it and instructing us where to go and what to do. She was just a wonderful teacher, and she always put people first. And I was very fortunate to have learned a lot of the basics about the game. But I will tell you one thing that Coach Yao told me when I did finish, because she knew I wanted to be in the game, and that is to always remember that we do it one way at NC State. That's not the only way. Always keep your mind open to learning and gleaning off of other people. And that was a great piece of advice, because that way I didn't go out thinking that I knew everything because Coach Al was the best coach in the country and that I didn't know anything but the NC State way. And but she was highly motivated, very encouraging. You would want to play for her because she motivated you by, being more disappointed than angry. If you let her down, then you really felt bad. You didn't want to let her down. And she never yelled at us. She just always instructed and was a terrific teacher.
Now, Krista, you were next in the chronological order here. Now, you had quite a success run there, 83-37 record, Sweet 16 3 years going, correct?
Yes, it's correct. Well, we made it to the Sweet 16. Only down year we had was my second year, and that was when we had the Prop 48, and Andrea Stinson had to sit out that year. So that was, that was a tough one. But, I'm right behind Debbie, and pretty much it was the same, 4 years that Debbie had were, the same as ours. And we had the four-hour practices and talk about being a teacher on the floor. I mean, it's hard. It's funny now coaching, thinking, we have to have a day off now. And it's just amazing. Coach always gave us a day off, but we always had that over your head that you needed to perform and really follow through. But, it was a pretty fun time.
Now, Kristen, now is where I'm going to give you the chance to brag, because Kristen came in the latest of the three players, and Kristen has the one Final Four.
Yep, here you go.
I let Debbie hear about that every time I see and talk to her too. But Debbie and Krista really hit the nail on the head. Just Coach Al was just a phenomenal teacher of the game, and just really helped build the foundation for me in my coaching career of just how to do things the right way. And two things that I really took from her in. The first thing was how competitive she was. A lot of people see her demeanor, and she always has a smile, and, she never has anything bad to say. She's not a yeller, but she wanted to win. Every single day, she wanted to get the best out of you. I mean, and it didn't matter if we were playing horse or if we were playing Carolina or if she was trying to see how many coasters she could flip and catch in the air at restaurants, for pregame. She was a competitor every single day. And the other thing that has really stuck with me is, she really instilled in us that it wasn't about her. It was about her players and why she coached. And that's one thing every single day when I come to work, I'm reminded that when I look at my players. And, it's not about me. It's not about, the school you're at. It's about those 15 young women that you get the opportunity to coach. And I think that's what stuck with me the most from Coach Yao.
That was actually going to be my next question, was to you and to Krista. What if there was anything specifically that I could ask you about that you've taken with you as you've continued in your coaching ranks. Krista, is there any, as a head coach, is there anything in particular that you use that was a product of Coach Yao?
Every day. I mean, there's so many things I can't even tell you. And you know, whether it's if I'm doing, I remember all the drills. I kept every one of my playbooks. But just, you know, one thing that I'll, you know, several things I always share, you know, funny lines. You know, I'll do like some of her jokes when she would say, you know, she would always tell you if you were making a bad pass or if something, you know, or if you were shooting something out of your range, you know, she'd be like, stay in Raleigh, don't be going out in the other states and, you know, funny stuff like that. But on the coaching side of it, you know, and even with my players, I mean, I was a kid that just worked really hard. And, you know, Coach Al didn't come out and say it this way, but she did it in a positive way with me and saying, you know, I found a way to be on the floor. You know, she might have been recruiting people that might have been more talented and more athletic than I was. And, you know, I found a way to be on the floor. So, you know, and being a player's coach, I am definitely a player's coach, 100%. And it is 100% not about me. I'm not really good at bragging about anything or taking really any credit. I'm not just saying this on the phone. It's just not my style. And I know all of that was a development of being around her. But, you know, but I'll use that with my players. It's like, and I'll say it, you know, in a better way, you know, than just, hey, she recruited over me every year, but I was on the floor. No, Coach Al was giving me the confidence saying there was a reason why you need to be on the floor. And, you know, and I think that's it's a huge lesson because it's about that will, it's about that fight that everybody was just talking about her, about that competitive nature, you know, about that pride. So, you know, everything that they just talked about, all of that was instilled in me, you know, I know from my time, you know, spent there.
Coach Sharp, as both a contemporary and an opponent, how was Coach Yao as a coach to share, to swap stories and strategies with and to compete against?
Well, always gracious. And you know, I think something that always impressed me so much was how much time she had for younger coaches in our profession. And I was a little bit younger than she was. And when I first started here at Texas Tech, well, I think she, you know, really understood some of the struggles that happened when you were trying to start a program, which we were basically trying to do here. So we'd spend some time, you know, talking about some of those things because it's just what she had gone through at North Carolina State. But I was always so impressed by the fact that it didn't matter if she was talking to, you know, the giants of our profession or some coach who was an assistant, you know, at a Division III school or whoever it might be. I was always struck by the fact that she, when you were talking with her, you felt like you were the only person that mattered, and I know these guys can do that, but it's just such a, was an amazing thing for me to watch year after year after year when we would all sit in those gyms the whole month of July and move from town to town, you know, recruiting those same kids over and over and over again, how she just, you know, came every day with that sense about her that she was going to make sure that she did something special for somebody every day. And I just think she was such an important part of the women's basketball family and certainly had such an impact in so many ways that, you know, unless you happen to talk to that person individually, you might never know. As I've been doing this, the executive director position, and I've been able to talk to individuals, it is unbelievably amazing about how many of them have an individual story, you know, about Kay, and they probably didn't know her that well, but just something that she said to them or some conversation they had or some speech that they saw her make or some clinic that she did that really impacted what they're about right now. And I think that there's not anything more important that you can say about someone or the legacy that they have than to be able to say that, you know, they took the time to impact all people at all levels. It's been such a special thing for me to see.
I want to put this out to the players. Now, one of the other segments that's going to be on this week's show is I had a delightful conversation on Friday with Teresa Edwards. And one of the things that we got to talking about was a discussion that I had with Graham Hayes and Mel Greenberg about what was the best Olympic team of all time. And I put to Teresa Edwards the 1988 Olympic team that Coach Yao coached. Now, that team had just for the listeners that may not be aware, Vicki Bullitt, Cynthia Cooper, Ann Donovan, Teresa Edwards, Jennifer Gillum, Bridget Gordon, Katrina McLean, and Susie McConnell and Teresa Weatherspoon. A pretty impressive group. And they were still very young. The oldest on the team was Donovan at 26. Now, while Teresa Edwards said that she thought that the team a few years later that Tara Vanderveer coached was better, what she said was that Coach Yao, this was by far the most fun Olympic team that she had, that she played on of her five, and that Coach Yao took a bunch of really young kids that were really wild and in the span of an Olympic Games turned them into women, that she taught them how to behave on and off the court in an international setting, and she learned so much about being a person that she would never forget the lessons that Coach Yao taught her in just in the span of that Olympic team. So I want to put to the former players, could you please talk about a little bit about what Teresa Edwards said about Coach Yao taking young women and turning them into adults?
Well, this is Debbie. I'd like to start first with that because the 84 Olympics, where she was an assistant coach for Pat Summit, and then the time that she became the head coach for the Olympics in 88, that was mostly during my span. I remember, first of all, the 84 Olympics, her coming back, and as a team, collectively, it was one of those, oh, no, she just spent the whole summer with Pat Summit. We're going to get our butts kicked in practice every day. And the drills and the things that she brought back with her were incredible drills for us and certainly helped us all become better players. But the 88 Olympics in 87 was when she was diagnosed with breast cancer on her physical that she had to have in order to be the head coach in the Olympics. On a regular routine physical is when they discovered the lump. And at that point, I don't want to say that Coach Yao changed into a completely different person because that would be unfair, because she already was a wonderful person with great balance in her life and had tremendous perspective. But I can understand why Teresa Edwards would feel that in 1988, after Coach Yao had experienced, not sure whether she was even going to be able to coach that team, what a refreshing and enlightening second chance, so to speak, you feel like you have if you've been diagnosed with cancer and then you go into remission. So I bet Coach Yao maximized every single second that she had and relished every opportunity she had with that group of kids. And because of that, they all learned from her that, you know, there's more than just the X's and O's. There's so many intangibles that come with being a part of a team and all the chemistry that is required. I know I learned from Coach Yao that in my travels through the years and doing games and asking coaches about their teams, when you ask them a specific basketball question, usually they give you an intangible back first. That's how important those intangibles were. So those people, I'm sure, on that team, because I can, and I'm sure Coach Sharp would speak to this better, about the personalities that that group was at that time, the life lessons that she shared, we're all better for having had an opportunity to spend time with her.
Ladies, anybody else wish to talk about the subject?
Well, Debbie always summarizes it so well, but we all are like, good daddy, follow that lead.
Well,
but, you know,
that's why she does broadcasting and you guys coach.
Exactly. You know, but it just makes you reflect on, you know, everything that you learned as a player about teamwork and about being the consummate team player. But, you know, all those messages were, you know, totally brought back during my career. And I was 87 with my freshman year. So, of course, right on the verge of her, you know, being gone in 88. And, you know, so I know, like, personally the impact that she's had on me. If you go into my pregame speech where everybody else, you know, we have our game plan, we have what we're doing. But, you know, it's crazy how people probably would laugh if they didn't understand who I play for and why you do what you do. It's like a life lesson, you know. Every quote that I have at every pregame speech is like a life lesson. We'll get into talking about the deeper meaning of, you know, the game, when past the game because of, I know, you know, what Coach Allen instilled in me. So it's just amazing when I hear Debbie kind of put that together and you're going back and you're thinking back about your time. And, you know, and that's what she –
left on me as a player and how I carried that forward.
I couldn't agree with Krista more. And, you know, I just, when I think about my time, you know, it was just amazing how every single day, you know, she made you feel like you were just so much more than just a basketball player. You know, she knew everything about your family. She knew what was going on even after you left. Every time you saw her, hey, how's your mom and dad? How's your nieces? You know, it wasn't just, hey, what can I do for you while you're here? It was, you know, that's the really unique thing about Coach Al. She created such a culture of family, and I think it was one of the coolest parts of what she did at NC State, and I know all the former players feel this way. You know, we always joked that we were part of the K-Fi Yale fraternity, but it was, it really was, and she that was important to her. And I was very lucky to be a part of her staff her last 2 years, and just to see how she handled those last 2 years when she got pretty sick, and just the life lessons she instilled in that group of girls that got to play for her those last 2 years. I mean, those young women are going to be prepared for anything that life throws at them, because they had such an unbelievable role model that handled some pretty tough times with unbelievable dignity and grace. And, you know, I think the older they get, the more they'll reflect upon it and realize, you know, how lucky they were to be there at that time.
Kristen, the success that those teams had under those extremely difficult circumstances is amazing to me. How did you keep those kids on the straight path, and how did Coach Yao keep them from, you know, feeling the ups and downs that she was obviously going through?
It just goes to, you know, it goes back to Coach Yao and her spirit and just how her players, I think Debbie hit the nail on the head when she said, you know, she wasn't a yeller. You just never wanted to let her down. You never wanted to see that look of disappointment. And, you know, it was the same thing that those kids understood how sick she was. And there was no way they were going to let her down. You know, I think you were talking about, like, the best Olympic team. And in my mind, I started thinking about the great NC State teams. And we had some really good ones. But I tell you what, that 2007 team, you know, when Coach Al got pretty sick for the third time and she had to take some time off. And that was a team that lost some games early on in the season, and that season was kind of up in the air. It could go one way or the other. But when Coach Al got sick and that group that was led by six seniors really came together, I just think that just epitomized who Coach Al was. Those kids just, you know, made up their mind that they were going to do anything it took, you know, and it was such a special and storied season. And it was all because of Coach Yao, you know, just wanting to win for her, you know, wanting to win one more game for her. And, you know, I look back at those times, and those kids, they were just so resilient. But, you know, it's easy to see why, because they had such a great role model.
We always talk about that, some friends of mine, and we always refer to that as her Jimmy V season, because it was such an unexpected, improbable run. You know, and what she was going through, and you could see it on the sidelines. And just, you were right. The kids just did not want it to end. It was truly amazing, just as a spectator, to be able to watch what was going on through all of the dynamics and that make women's basketball such an incredible game. To see it right played out in the NCAA tournament setting was just phenomenal.
David, I want to add to something that Kristen said about that 07 team, because I think, as I remember when Kristen's team went to the Final Four in 98, it was one of the greatest gifts that Coach Al ever received, because it felt like in the women's basketball world that she was like the last of the good guys to finally make it. Everybody was happy that she made the Final Four. There was not a coach in the profession, and I know Coach Sharp can speak to this being exactly 100% correct, that was totally thrilled for Coach Al getting a chance to take one of her teams to the Final Four. But that 07 team, I'm just going to take you all back, because the drama and the emotion of the moment, the seniors that Kristen is talking about on the last home game, the night that the court is going to be named in her honor, and without sparing you a bunch of detail, I will say that being involved in helping that court get named is one of the greatest emotional feelings that I've ever had professionally, because I did fight hard with NC State to make sure that Coach Al got that court named after her, and that one of her teams, while she was still alive, and her kids played on it. There was no more deserving group than that 07 group. North Carolina is number 2 in the nation. On paper, there's no way in hell NC State should even be in the game. They're up over 20 in the first half. At halftime, I had pre-taped an interview with Coach Al. Most of the time we do a two-camera setting. I specifically asked for one camera, which meant one camera only on her, not on me, because there was no way I was going to make it through the interview. I sat there and I cried with every question that I asked her, and she answered them. And they went on and they win that game, and they celebrate on KYAL court. Then they go to the ACC tournament. Duke is number 1 in the nation and undefeated. Gail Gessen, of course, has one of her best teams. Before the game, my boss at Fox says, "Do you think Coach Al will wear a mic?" I said, "She never wears one. She doesn't want it to be a distraction to her team. I don't know if she'd wear one." I asked her, and she agreed to wear it. She couldn't even get off the bench. She was on the bench wearing her gloves, cancer riddling her entire body. How she willed herself to even get to the arena with IV after IV, to sit there with 2 minutes left in the game. Abby Wehner slips on some water from a timeout that was in front of the Duke bench. The ball pops up in the air. Shayla Fields gets it, goes down, makes a layup. At this point, the entire sold-out building in Greensboro knows NC State is going to win this game. Even the Duke fans were cheering. And Carolina fans, we know they weren't rooting for Duke, but they were rooting for NC State. It was an amazing moment in the arena. With 2 minutes left in the game, you knew that NC State was going to win. Two improbable, unbelievable, as dramatic a setting as you could possibly. Khadijah Whittington would go down, go back and get stitches, come back in the game. She'd go down with an ankle. She'd leave the bench. She'd come back. I mean, the will and the heart and the determination of those kids and what they were trying to do for Coach Yao, every single one of them, you can't understate it. It was one of the most amazing miracles and one of the greatest gifts I know Coach Yao ever received in her entire life. It was amazing. And I'm so glad that I got to be there to witness it. And then you go to the NCAA tournament, and they take Baylor to overtime. It was incredible. What a run those kids had. Some of the finest broadcasting moments I have ever experienced, including all the Final Fours that I've had a chance to call. It is just amazing to watch what those kids did for her. It's still emotional to even think about it and talk about it, because I can sense that Krista and Kristen know exactly what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
I think that based on let's go to Coach Sharp for a minute and let everybody else digest for a second. Coach, there are very few women's coaches that have gotten the respect, I'm going to say respect, you can disagree with the word, to be put into the Naismith Hall of Fame right now. Yeah, the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame is great. The Naismith Hall of Fame is the ultimate achievement. Now, Coach Yao is one of those, of course. Can you talk for a second about the legacy as a coach herself that Coach Yao leaves, and being a Hall of Fame type coach, and the success and the influence on other coaches? That you said how she was always there to talk to other coaches. Can you talk about a little bit about the influence on some of these other coaches that she's had?
Well, I don't think that there's any way you can probably measure how important she's been to the sport. Certainly, she was well-deserving of Naismith, and it was such an awesome thing, I think, that she was included in that group. You know, when you win a gold medal and you've been to a Final Four and you've won 700 basketball games, well, all of that should happen in your career. And I think that's something that, you know, nobody takes lightly, and I think people have a great deal of respect for that side of it. And Certainly, even I think what Kay was about, she would have always told you that it was more important about those relationships and all the personal things that were involved and all the things that she did away from the court that was important for her to be remembered. And I think the fact that she planned her own memorial service without ever mentioning any one of those wins or any of the halls of fame or anything that she was in, talked about what she wanted it to be. But there's no question that there's an incredible respect for her coaching abilities among folks who, you know, watched that happen over the years. And, you know, there's a certain group of folks that started programs everywhere they were. And, you know, a lot of them are a little bit closer to my age than hers. There were probably about 60 of us all over the country that really started those programs. And there are a lot of them that still have those programs right now and are still coaching them. And so all of us, I think, have such an amazing respect for each other and know what kinds of battles we fought early, you know, to try to begin programs at universities where people didn't particularly want women's basketball programs to emerge. And, you know, there was a special camaraderie among a bunch of us because the things that we all went through together. And at one point it was not necessarily about only winning that battle at your school, but it was about winning that battle nationally. And she was all about that. It was any time we talked about it, it was like, what were you able to do to get this to happen at Tech, or what were you able to do at NC State, or what happened at Tennessee or at Georgia or wherever it might have been that everybody was going through those same things together. So that added a depth to that, I think, with that certain level of coaches who are all about in their late 50s and older than that. And she was certainly a big part of that group that really understood that it was a lot more about taking the game forward than it was about taking even your own school forward. However, that was an important part of what we did. But the fact that she was rewarded for that and was able to go into the Naismith Hall, I think everybody in women's basketball was thrilled about that. And I'll be honest with you and tell you that everybody in women's basketball, every time we get one in, we're so thrilled that they've made it and that's happened. And you know, I think people across the country would tell you Tara Vandiver needs to be next, and Kay would have agreed with that because she did the same thing at Stanford that, you know, people did all over the country. But I just think that, you know, maybe sometimes we don't talk enough about the things that she did as a coach and how successful she was. And, you know, from somebody who had an opportunity to do it, that old saying about it's one thing to take a program and try to get them there, it's another thing to keep them there. And, boy, she played at a high level for so many years at NC State and one of the most difficult leagues in the country, obviously. And I don't think there's anybody in the game that doesn't respect all the wins and the, you know, the coaching technique and everything that she was about. I think that's a big part of what people really, really respect about what she did.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that she was the very first full-time head coach of women's basketball at North Carolina State, and that she also coached the volleyball and softball teams at the time.
Well, there were a lot of you played a lot of different roles. When I first coached at Texas Tech, I also taught in the physical education department, you know, and probably showed up. I can remember that my assistants and I one night called lines for volleyball games early, you know.
That's awesome.
We didn't do a very good job. I think they thought we looked like we were landing airplanes, so we didn't get asked back. But, you did those kinds of things. And she coached a lot of different sports and did a lot of things early to, you know, to try to make it all work. And there just wasn't any option. There wasn't any money. And, you know, she started in situations where they had to go out and fundraise and make money. And I'm not talking about like going to see a, you know, million-dollar donor. I'm talking about probably having, you know, bake sales and everything else on the side to try to come up with enough travel money or whatever that they needed. And that's where we all started. And, you know, I can tell you, I could name 60 of them that did that. But she was in some ways our leader. And when I said she was the president at Coach Association, we're putting the bylaws together, you should have seen that. It was amazing to try to put bylaws together for a coach association that are still in effect today. And she was an incredibly capable leader in those ways, and you know, was the leader who really instigated the bylaws and everything that the association uses. So a lot of history there that I hope, you know, we can capture in programs like this. I hope you know, people really get the feel for what her career was all about and the different things, how different it looked at the beginning and where it went toward the end, and how much pride she had in the fact that women's basketball had changed so much during the you know, days she coached.
Well, I will say that there is another coach on this line that should be in the Naismith Hall of Fame. In addition to Coach Yao, Coach Sharp, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame for what you've done and what on and off the court. But hey, she doesn't have a freeway in Lubbock named after her, and you've got that.
It's right outside the arena. You can't help but see it.
I agree with that, David. I agree with that completely. That was well stated.
David, I want to take you in another direction, if I may. You know, Krista is not a part of this, but Kristen certainly is. And Coach Al, you know, we've already talked about a sense of family and a sense of competitiveness. Coach Al knew that Kristen Gillespie and I were always quite competitive. And I coined the phrase that I am the best non-stat starter in the history of NC State basketball. 3 years of starting, no stats. And all those jerseys that are hanging in the rafter, there's a lot of great criteria to get up there. So I came up with my own criteria, which Kristen Gillespie doesn't have any of. Krista Kilburn was too good of a player, so she can't possibly be a part of it. But
please.
I'm the first player at NC State to not have to wear high tops. When three-quarter shoes came out, Coach Sharp, you remember what I'm talking about, I talked Coach Al into not making me wear those high tops because I didn't have an ankle problem and I thought it would make me jump higher and run faster. And it took several practices for me to get her to believe it, but eventually she gave in. The other thing is I'm the only player in NC State basketball history to have a technical foul called on me from the bench, at the end of the bench in a game that I didn't even get in. And I'm also the best non-stat starter, which means 3 years of starting with zero stats. Krista was talking about finding a way to stay on the floor. Lord knows why Coach Al left me out there. I have no idea. But anyway,
I don't care of the ball, and you were the best player. If I had somebody like you right now, Dad, we wouldn't be hurting like we are right now.
I saw the pass that led to the pass. You know, I threw it in there to Trina Price, and she never threw it back out. I like to joke with my teammates about that. But one thing that I will tell you about Coach Al, on the night that she was going to win 700 games, because Coach Sharp alluded to her 700 wins, they're playing Florida State at home. Coach Al had come straight from the hospital right to the locker room. She was down in the coach's locker room. She had her gloves on. It was at that point where her immune system was so low you couldn't even hug her. You just had to, you know, keep your distance and talk to her, and she didn't have a lot of strength. But she got there an hour before the game. I go downstairs, and they're getting ready to play Florida State, and I go in the locker room, and I wanted to talk to her before the game, and I wanted to see her. And as I'm leaving, I get a foot out of the door, and I turn back around, and I say, Coach Al, let me be the first to congratulate you on 700 wins. Well, she breaks out in this huge belly laugh, laughing hysterically. And I'm looking at her like, what's so funny? Well, Debbie, you're not the first. Kristen Gillespie already called me this afternoon and congratulated me on 700, and they haven't even played the game yet. And I looked at her, and she just thought that was hilarious because she knew that Kristen got one up on me and that I was not going to be happy about it.
She knew I did that often to you, though, let's be honest. I mean, really. You know, if you're off your soapbox, for those of you that know Debbie, you know, she likes to talk about all her accolades and whatnot, but one year at camp about 10 years ago, I made the SID get out. I mean, they had to go through boxes to find, you know, back in the 70s or 80s, whenever Debbie played, you know, blow the dust off it. And we went game by game, and my stats were so pathetic compared to hers. But this is like her only leg to stand on with me, because I have the Final Four ring, and, you know, she's jealous about that, which I will let you borrow tomorrow when I see you so you can wear it at the DePaul game on TV. But, you know, that was the one thing I really appreciated about Coach, you know. She pulled me to the side, you know, and just had a nice conversation with me and let me know that I was the best non-stat starter in NC State history. So
it's funny, Kristen, because she had that same conversation with me. So
really? Yeah, but she said she just had to appease you, so, you know.
I'm going to interrupt both of you guys right now because, Kristen, the year you were playing in 98 was like one of the best memories of Coach Al after a player, because I was coaching high school, and I came down to the floor before the game started, and I was coaching high school, and we had just gotten beat in our little sub-region, and we had just won the region, and we ended up winning the state championship the year you won the your national championship. Let me just say how much time, you guys are going on that banter, made me think about this, how much time Coach Al spent with me to talk about that, and we were sharing like our ups and downs, and we were, I was telling her, like, almost, my kids were almost done, because didn't you guys lose in the ACC tournament, right?
We got upset first round.
And so did we. We lost to a local team called Pope. You know, my kids felt like they were defeated. We were like, we're on the bottom. And then we go on and win every game, and we won the state championship that year. But I really, my kids had to do it. But that conversation with Coach Al right there that day, I mean, it was probably spent 15 minutes. You know, Norlin tried to cut me off, but I wouldn't let it happen. So we spent about 15 to 20 minutes talking, literally, just about that and about, and it just was a connect. You know, because when you would get Coach Al to yourself, and I used to have to fight for that, it was the best moments of your life, you know, and because she would, what someone said earlier, what she did to coaches with your Division III, it didn't matter. You were important in her life, and, you know, and I know that that's something that I carry with me, too. And it is, you know, and you are who you are, too, by the way. I mean, you can try to fake something like that. You know, she loved people. And, you know, it was imperative, you know, that I shared that there. You guys were going back and forth. So you got your little ring there, and I got a state championship ring there.
Debbie, what did – oh, never mind. No worries.
You know, Debbie, I will say, in trying to do my homework for this, you know, one of the things I went to was the what they call the yearbook now on the website, and the old-style media guides. And it took me probably about 5 tries of going through 184 pages before I found you. I had no trouble finding Krista and Kristen, but you were tough to find in there.
And see,
you know, I was
that,
letter winners, and there it was.
See, and that's why I'm the best non-stat starter in NC State history, right there, David.
Not true.
3 years.
Debbie is also known. She had the best hairdo in NC State history, too.
Oh,
she was rocking the sweet mullet back in the 80s. That was hot.
Challenge me for that. I think Krista had quite a do
the
back then.
No,
in the day.
Krista, I've seen it. No, Debbie,
I had the
I'm sorry.
Hair,
hands
though.
Down.
I had the biggest hair.
Hands down.
Krista had big hair.
Yeah, I had big hair.
David, the thing that's important here is that you recognize we are almost 3 different generations, yet you see the camaraderie, because that's the way Coach Al wanted it. I mean, that's the only way we knew. If you had played there, you're a part of the family. And I really think Kelly Harper is doing a remarkable job of trying to keep that going, because she understood how important that is. Kelly comes from a very similar situation at Tennessee, and I think as former players you know, it's great to see that Kelly is trying to keep that alive.
Unfortunately, they did have a big game yesterday, and accordingly, you know, I had reached out to try and get somebody from the current program, including Coach Harper, who has been on the show before, to join us. And unfortunately, with the travel and everything that went on with the game yesterday, they were unable to join us today. Just to let the listeners know that, you know, that was the story behind that. You know, ladies, as we're starting to get, we're taking an awful lot of your time, and I appreciate that. But the infamous Coach Yao idioms. You know, I want to hit you all up for your favorite idioms from Coach Yao.
Oh gosh, well, I mean, this is Debbie. I will say, I mimicked and imitated her in the locker room for 4 years when she wasn't watching. So if you asked me to do the walk and the head shake and the we got a rebound. Can we rebound? You know what I mean? I mean, that would be our halftime with Coach Al. She would. She has a lot, but I'll tell you right now, I'm wearing a pair of sneakers that were custom made for me that are going to be auctioned off in donations to the KU Cancer Fund. It's a pair of old school Chuck Taylors, and on one shoe it says, "When life kicks you," on the other one it says, "Let it kick you forward." So I would say that right now that would have to be the one that's the most impressive to me.
Well, Debbie,
sure, Debbie comes in first and takes the most famous one, you know.
Well, there's one funny one to me where she always used to say, you got to deliver the mail, it's got to be delivered, you know, she'd always go down and do that. But the one I always tell my team all the time is the stuttering part that Deb was just doing. Now, Krista, now you got to go in this game, and you can't make any mistakes. You cannot turn that ball over. I used to just crack up. I'm like, you know, and she meant well, you know, she meant well. But it's like, now you can't make any mistakes. I'm like, okay, put me in, you know. So it's funny. It brings up a million things that pop in your head. What about you, Kristen?
I would have to say how she would say, here we go, Pack, over and over and over throughout. I mean, here we go, Pack, here we go, Pack, here we go, here we go. And then as the practice, you know, it was getting close, you'd always know because she would say it more and more, and then she'd be like, all right, one more time. And you knew one more time equated into like a half hour of still running your offense until she felt it was correct. But it just... you know, she would stand under the basket clapping, here we go, Pack, here we go. And people would be running into her, like Debbie said, you know, Summer Erb broke her wrist one time because she was in the way. And, I mean, it was just, there's so many great memories from Coach. But, you know, I'm a big fan of the swish your feet. You know, you're going to drown in the pity pond. Just swish your feet and get out. And I know my players probably are sick of me telling Coach Al stories, but I'm sure Krista feels the same way. Like, I feel like it is my role to make sure her legacy and her stories get carried on. And, you know, whether it's the donkey that fell in the well or, you know, the geese flying, there's so many different ones that could come up in any situation. But I just, you know, every single day something is, you know, pops in my head that reminds me of Coach or what she said. And, you know, I love being able to share those stories with my players.
Well, you need to, because it's getting harder and harder. And that, you know, Coach Al is here. She'd just tell you to keep plugging because,
yeah,
you know, these kids they're missing it. I mean, an official asked me, well, actually Jerry Porter in the Mason game the other day asked me before we played at Mason. She's just like, I don't understand. She goes, like, what is the difference? You know, these kids are more talented. And, you know, so all of us are scratching our head across the, you know, the country and trying to, you know, instill this stuff with kids. And I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stop, you know, and I'm sure – all that is what's been, you know, given to me from Coach Al. I'm not going to stop, you know, because these kids need to hear it, and it's a bigger message. So,
Coach,
paying off, Kristen.
Coach Sharp, it just seems like the wit and wisdom of the Southern coach is different than the Northern coach. Coach?
You talking to me?
We probably have a little bit different way of expressing ourselves. We talk a little bit slower than, you know, so whatever we say probably lingers a little bit longer in the air. But she just had such an amazing way of connecting people and, you know, getting your attention. And I think, you know, there's so many things through the years that I remember sitting and talking about, but maybe some of the things that are a part of me every single day right now are you know, things we talked about with the her foundation and the fund and things we were trying to get going that last year of her life. And when, you know, we'd get in situations where, you know, we were trying to make something happen or turn the corner or get some contract signed or get some name trademarked through the government or whatever, and sometimes she, if I happened to be with her, she'd just turn her palms up and say, I mean, Marsh. You know, and when she said, you know, I mean, Marsh, you know, boy, all of a sudden you turned your head and she had your attention. And, you know, we were trying to do something fairly serious during that time. But that happened all the way up until the end for her because she was so passionate about trying to get this stuff going. And it's something that is just on my mind every day when I do things. You know, would this be something that she'd be proud of? Or are we going to do something at this event that, you know, would she think was a great thing? And but always, it was always about, I mean, we got to do this. You know, we got to do this. And even in those simple words, you knew that this was something that was really important to fight for and to get going. And I'm just going to tell you that it inspires me every day that I work on things for her fun because it's definitely hers, and it's all about keeping her legacy alive in the most positive way we can. And, you know, it's just such an amazing, simplified way of inspiration for me, and it's something that, you know, will always be a part of me.
Coach Sharp, let's stay with you for a minute here. As it is the time for the Pink Zone and all of the games that are going on right now, as we bring this to a conclusion, I want to let you talk for a few minutes about the WBCA KEL Cancer Fund and where it stands, where it's going, and about the Pink Zone games that's been going on, and how people can contribute.
Well, thank you, and it's been an amazing journey. Debbie has walked this right beside me, and some other folks that are on our board of directors that have been so invaluable in trying to move this forward every day. And I think Debbie will tell you it's been such an interesting journey. And, you know, when you try to form a foundation, and particularly when it's a nationwide effort, coaches who are so busy doing things every single day and in their worlds to try to, you know, gather all of that energy has been really an interesting thing to be a part of. But what a good thing. It's been so awesome to watch it happen. And the Pink games that we're having this month, it's been fun to watch. And we're going to put some video together that we're going to show at the Final Four. But so many amazing ideas that people have, from, you know, Notre Dame being in a spin room on bikes, trying to raise money, to having a dance-a-thon at West Virginia, to the amazing effort that NC State had at their Hoops for Hope. I was over there a few weeks ago for that to kind of kick off everything, and they raised $53,000, you know, in that game, and every cent of that's going to the KEL Fund. So we're doing Pink Treadmills here in Lubbock for four games in February, and people have been coming out of the stands to give us donations, you know, for those kinds of things. And it's over and over. High school teams, softball teams, men's teams, everybody that's gotten behind this movement. And it's just been an education process, and that will be continuing for, you know, years. It's not something that you just do one year and it automatically happens again. I think there's lots of efforts on the part of lots of coaches and K supporters around the country to make sure that this happens. And it's just been such an amazing thing to watch. And it's been really humbling to be able to be a part of it and watch people jump in and do whatever they can to make it happen. But I think it talks about still the incredible respect people have across the country for Kay and what she stood for and how much they want this to be successful. We've given a $1 million donation for a research project at Johns Hopkins, and we'll give another $1 million donation probably this spring to another cancer research project that we're trying to identify right now, and left $100,000 in all of the Final Four cities for research projects because she thought it was important to really reward the communities that hosted the women's Final Fours. And it's just things like that that we're able to do that I think were really impacting lives, and you know, putting clinical trials in place immediately to try to help people get access to drugs that can change their worlds right now and not wait for something a little bit later down the line. And those are all things that she was really emphatic about, the things that she wanted to make sure were happening. And above everything else, she wanted coaches together for a cause bigger than competition, David, and I think we've done that. I think across the country people are feeling that and understand what that's about. So it's been really unbelievable to watch. If people want to donate, they can go online today at KEL.com. It's that easy. Follow the link to the donation and put their money in a place where we will promise you it will be incredibly well used. So we would love that, and really, you know, graciously accept any donations people could help us with. And that's up every single day of the year, so you can always go there and donate.
David, if I may just tack on something that Coach Sharp was talking about, and that is that, first of all, we have tremendous leadership with the foundation, and that's because of Coach Sharp. As much as Coach Zhao was respected and, you know, admired across the basketball community, Marcia Sharp carries the same weight. We would not be able to do what we're doing without her leadership and her skill set out in front of the fund. And secondly, the clinical trial thing is very important, because Coach Zhao believed that the clinical trial and the drugs that she was on helped her have a better quality of life and a longer life, and that's a really important component. And every coach out there at every level in their communities and all the things that they're doing, all of this money goes to research. You are making a direct, definitive difference by contributing your time, your talent, and your treasures. And everyone who gets involved needs to know. We raised $3.3 million in less than 3 years. The Jimmy V Foundation, it took them their first 7 years to raise what we've done. That's the passion that drives this cause behind women's basketball. And when people get involved and get active in their communities, I don't know anybody who hasn't been touched by cancer. It is making a definitive, direct, immediate impact right now. And that's a big part of the passion that drives this thing. And that's a big part of what Marcia was talking about before, about people like Coach Sharp and Coach Yao, who started this. The 60 people that started women's basketball did it because it was a movement and a passion, and they stuck with it. That's the same thing that we're seeing now 30 years later in a cause that's greater than all of us. And Coach Yao had enough foresight to be able to see that and had enough belief in our nation of coaches that we would do this. And we are doing it, and people are benefiting from it. And that's the great part of the whole deal.
Yeah, there is no question that this is something that, you know, I feel strongly about, and that this needs to be promoted, and we need to continue to work toward this. I lost both parents to cancer, and a few years back, my wife had a breast health scare. Thank God it was nothing, but it was the most helpless couple of weeks that I've ever had in my life, and just to not be able to do anything other than to just be there, it was just a feeling that I hope that people don't have to go through for long. And I hope that this is something that we can continue to work towards. And I will always, as long as this show is on, we will always be doing something to help promote this organization because it is so significant. Also in the fact that, you know, the money is all going to the right places, as both Debbie and Coach Sharp said. It's not just going to administrative costs. The money goes to where it's needed. And for that, you know, the organization and both of you serving on the board need to be, you know, further commended. And also the one thing that I do want to say about Coach Sharp also is this is the third time I've had Coach Sharp on the show. And I've had, you know, some terrific people from Coach Ariema, Coach Summit, Donna Arender, and all down the line, and Cynthia Cooper, for as a Hall of Famer, and Coach Sharp. You are truly, you know, royalty on this show, and I appreciate having you on the show anytime that you want to. You are my favorite guest of all, and I feel honored to have you whenever you are available.
David, ladies, I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Ladies, to let you all go, let's go one at a time around and let you each give a final thought, and we will make Debbie go last so that you can all get something else in first.
Let me go first, because these are Kay's folks, and I want them to be able to finish it. But just what an honor it is for me to be on. Thank you for allowing us to talk about this today. And anytime I get to spend an hour or so talking about Kay Yao, that's a very special part of my day, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. And we just have a great thing going here, and, you know, folks like you that help us so much with the education process and being able to, you know, really extend what she was about and what we're trying to do with her legacy is always very special. So thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this. And you other three guys, I've enjoyed so much listening to you banter back and forth this morning and talk about Kay and the things that and your memories. So thank you so much for doing this for us.
Thank you.
Well, I'll go since we'll go reverse order. David, I just thank you very much for asking me to be a part of this. And I just want to give special thanks to Debbie and Coach Sharp just for all your work with Coach Yao's Foundation. I know a lot of it is selfless and thankless, but the legacy that you guys are helping carry on, it's going to last hopefully a lot longer than all of our lifetimes. And, you know, I from all the former players, just thank you so much for all the time and effort you guys put into this and making this such a success. I know Coach Al is smiling down and has to be so proud of this. And, you know, David, I just appreciate you, you know, having a show like this dedicated to Coach Al and just, once again, help spread her legacy. And just, you know, I know as time goes on, some, you know, it's only human nature to move on and sometimes forget things. But thank you so much for bringing this to the forefront and giving me and Debbie and Krista an opportunity to talk about our former coach who, you know, we miss every day and that we're so thankful to have a part of our lives.
Yes, I can accept. Yeah, well, definitely, you know, David, thank you very much. And thanks, Debbie, for, you know, my name to you as well and giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it so much. And, you know, to be able to kind of have a chance to actually think back, you know, you go 90 miles per hour all the time, and to have a chance to really think back and remember Coach Al. And, you know, and we're trying something new up here in the Pink Zone Challenge, this, you know, for this year as well. Really remember her legacy and just the impact that she's left and how, you know, the whole, you know, organization is just going to make the world a better place, and you know that that's what Coach Al wants. So I can't thank you enough. I can't thank Debbie enough for everything she's done for me and in my profession so far and always looking out for me. I appreciate it, and thanks a lot.
Debbie?
David, I think the greatest gift Coach Al gave us in terms of a leader and the thing that she taught me the most is one of the greatest leadership qualities she always felt was the most important one was service and serving others. And I think that is what she's instilled in all of us as people in our lives. I know as a mom and as a wife and as a former player and all the different roles that we all carry on, service is the most important part of what we do. And I think you're seeing an example of all of that today by the guests that you've had on your show. So thank you for putting this together. And thank Coach Sharp for her wonderful leadership. We would not be where we are without her willingness to take on such a tremendous challenge when it means so much to so many people that love Coach Al. And we all love her, and we all miss her. And I just want to thank every coach out there for everything that they have done to allow us to have a legacy for Coach Al.
Ladies, I want to thank you all again. Coach Sharp, good luck the rest of the way with the Pink Zone and, of course, with the Cancer Fund going forward, the KUL Fund. And again, Coach, one more time, could you just give the website out to everybody?
It's pretty simple. It's KUL.com. Just go there and follow the links, and it will send you where you need to be. So we would love to hear from people and get donations and your thoughts about everything that's going on, Pink Zone events in your area, and it's a great place to be.
Thanks, Coach. And Kristen Gillespie at UIC, congratulations. Good luck on the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And Krista Kilburn-Stavesky, did I pronounce that right?
You did, David.
All right. At Hofstra. Uh-huh. By the way, my daughter is a sophomore in high school, getting all kinds of mail from Hofstra all of a sudden about going to school there.
Awesome.
And the woman that I call the hardest working woman in women's college basketball. No, I love just getting emails with the planes, trains, and automobiles stories of Debbie Antonelli, who is everywhere when you turn on your television set and we'll put on a women's basketball game. Debbie, thank you again for helping me put this together and for being a participant in our panel.
David, thank you for your show and for helping our game grow in general, because your show is terrific and you've had a lot of wonderful people on, and I'm just honored to be included and to be included with this group.
And don't forget, listeners, to check out always. I make sure that I always listen to Shoot Around with Beth and Debbie.
Yes.
You know, when I grow up, I want to be like Beth and Debbie.
No, you don't.
Ladies, thank you again for taking so much time. I have truly enjoyed being a part of this, and I'm sure the listeners will love it as well. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David. Thank you, David, and best wishes to your wife.